It's a perennial issue. It seems to pop up and ebb and flow over the years, and it's about to fire up again because a group of local business people are raising the issue of a rectangular stadium for Cairns. It's a bit of a controversial topic because there are so many factors involved. Of course, the cost is just one of those, but it is obviously a fairly big obstacle. To have a chat about, I guess, on a more general level, it's a great pleasure to have Daryl Maguire on the line from Melbourne. Now, Daryl is studio principal at Warren and Marnie. The firm is a global architectural and design practice. Daryl particularly focuses in the sports and recreation space, so he's perfect to talk to about this very topic. Daryl, welcome to the King Review.
Pleasure to be here.
Now, I guess without going into any specifics of what may or may not happen in Cairns, I was keen to get a bit of an overview, a bit more of a general take on the issue of stadiums. Now, what factors does a city need? What ingredients does a city need in order to make a stadium? And I'm thinking now of about a 20,000-seat stadium. What ingredients does a city need to make that possible and viable?
Well, usually a city gets to a certain scale and has population really is one of the drivers that creates a stadium. And I know there are already stadiums in Cairns itself, but it's really part of one of the public pieces of infrastructure that all cities have, like libraries, town halls, convention centres is a great example in Cairns. I mean, even just roads and public transport. They're all infrastructure which doesn't necessarily pay its way, but they're the things that kind of a modern city requires to exist for it to actually grow and prosper. So the stadium is one of those pieces of infrastructure that a portion of the population use, just like a portion of the population might use the library, for example. So those are the types of things. And on top of that, a stadium would attract events, either sporting events or non-sporting events, and it's a matter of marketing those events around the world and getting people to come to the city to play sport, to play concerts and other non-event day activities as well.
Have you got any thoughts, Daryl, on is it easier for a city to build something like a rectangular stadium on a greenfields site versus this most recent proposal, if you like, is all about a stadium called Barlow Park here in Cairns, and they're talking about upgrading that in stages. Is it easier to build greenfields, or is it possible to do what's being suggested and really upgrade perhaps a subpar or a smaller stadium as it stands?
I mean, both are definitely possible, but the greenfield sites are usually more on the outskirts or outside the city. And the advantage there is there's a clean sheet. You can orient the stadium and build lots of parking. But that's a very kind of post-war suburban model where everyone drives to these outskirts stadiums. Whereas if you have Barlow Park as your example, which is already in the city, it's already got transport links. It could actually easily be done on a site. I mean, I'm aware of that site. You could easily build it on that site. It would fit. You've got those links to transport, as I said, but you're also starting to create a centre of gravity in the city and another centre of gravity. So you've already got a lot of the infrastructure around the stadium. So it allows local businesses to grow and thrive and actually build an economy, in part of the city where there's already an economy, rather than trying to create a whole new greenfields subdivision, really, a new suburb.
What about the concept of the viability of stadiums? This is always an argument against building or upgrading a stadium here in Cairns. Is it's one thing to get the capital funds or a grant from a government to build it, but it's another entirely to maintain that year in, year out. Does that burden fall on the local council and therefore ratepayers, whatever it is? Your quick thoughts on, I guess, that annual maintenance fee. And like you said, certain infrastructure is there for the community. It doesn't necessarily make money at all times. But what are ways you can make a stadium viable and minimise that impact on rate or taxpayers on an ongoing basis?
Yeah, I guess, I mean, just another example, actually, which is one of the things we do a lot of is public, swimming pools, and they all lose money. But they're a vital part of the community that people remember going to those places as they grow up. And the same with the stadiums. There's events that happen there that people remember for their life. So there's the obvious things, and if we're talking a rectangular stadium, obviously the rectangular sports league, rugby and soccer. There's concerts, festivals. You can have staging for events like marathons, etc. And then there's, so those are kind of events, but then there's non-event day activity as well, which can create revenue, conferences and meetings that could become an extension of the large convention market that's already in Cairns. And then you've also got the possibility of ongoing revenue not related to events. So you can have, as part of, adjacent or part of the stadium, you can have hotel. You can actually even turn the corporate suites into hotel rooms when they're not used. Or you can have sporting organisations who lease space for offices or even training. So that's ongoing revenue to essentially help defray the cost. I mean, these stadiums don't generally make a profit. It's only in places like London where you've got membership of Wembley Stadium, which it might actually make a profit. But it needs a huge amount of density and a different model of ownership for that to happen.
I'm speaking here with Daryl Maguire from Warren and Marney, a global architecture and design firm with vast experience in that sport and recreation infrastructure space. Daryl, have you got any advice or any tips for these proponents who are raising this issue again? I mean, obviously bringing the community on board and on side and pressuring those politicians at all levels, I would imagine, is an important component. But what type of work should be done, I guess, to really get local politicians at all levels fired up and behind this project?
Well, yeah, a business case or a financial case is usually what is the first piece of work for these types of projects, which is really to look at what is the event profile for the building, which would also give an idea of what the size would need to be. 20,000 seats has been talked about, but it may work out that it wants to be smaller or bigger than that, depending on what actual events would actually be attracted to the city. And the other part to think about is expandability, whether you have temporary seating that can be brought in to increase the capacity for particular events, or allow for it to be expanded over time. So designing in those types of things from day one, not necessarily having to pay for them immediately, pay for them when they're needed.
When you cast your eye over all of the cities and places and regions that you have worked in and continue to work in, are you surprised that a region like ours, as I said, over 200,000 in that broader region, about 180,000 more directly here in Cairns, are you surprised that we don't have a stadium of that sort of 20,000 seat capacity?
I am a bit. I mean, there's an Oval Stadium, which is probably 13 or something thousand seats. So it's certainly, Australia is sports mad. So every city and every town really wants to be able to celebrate that. But I think the key is to not just have it as a single use place, have a multi-use stadium, which can have other events.
Daryl Maguire, thanks so much for your insights and for being on The King Review.
My pleasure.